Hey everybody, I'm Jay Worthy and this is the podcast for anyone trying to inject some adventure, purpose and balance into their lives. 28 Summers is all about living life adventurously, seizing the moment and optimizing your life. Now this week I have something a little different for you. We talk a lot on this podcast about making big life changes, living adventurously and just not cruising through life on autopilot. And my guests this week are here to help you with the how. They are sisters Lauren and Candice Henry, success and influence strategists and co-founders of Aretios. They hold degrees in communications, business marketing and management, as well as master's degrees in executive leadership from Liberty University. Candice and Lauren are both top-rated college professors, teaching courses in personal and organizational leadership at Southeastern University. Candice is also a published author, and Lauren has served alongside several for-profit and not-for-profit organizations, raising nearly $1 million for charitable causes. Through their company, Aretios, Candice and Lauren have done speaking and training sessions for global companies, non-profit organizations, and various colleges and universities. This is a really great chat, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. So, Lauren, Candice, welcome to the 28 Summers podcast. Really excited to have you here. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Jay.
Yeah, my pleasure. Well, let's dive right in. And I always like to start with my guests and talking a little bit about their kind of early years and whether they were adventurous as children, whether they were outdoors, indoors, sporty or not. So maybe tell me a little bit about your childhood, your upbringing.
Yeah, I would say we were definitely adventurous when we were young. We played outside all the time. We'd make up our own adventures, and we were always into different kinds of activities when we weren't in school. So we did a lot of ballet growing up. We were in acting classes, art. We rode horses a lot. We trained miniature horses. That was really fun.
That's cool.
And we grew up living by the beach, so we would, you know, be outside a lot, and then also go on family trips and hike, explore, canoe, all those kinds of things. So I think that definitely kind of became sort of a way of life, at least. Maybe not an extreme level of adventure, but just part of our regular life. And we, you know, grew up loving that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's beautiful as well, because it really speaks to a lifestyle of adventure rather than just these big kind of milestone moments. It sounds like adventure was a part of everyday life for you guys.
For sure. I think it was actually through several of those adventures that we learned a lot of valuable life lessons that have helped us to become better people today. They've kind of shaped us along that growing up process, for sure.
So you got a massive smile on my face now, because I know from our earlier chats that we think about this stuff the same way. And I definitely want to get to that, because I have a real strong view that adventure teaches you a lot about life and leadership. And I know you guys feel the same way. So I can't wait to get to that. However, I do know from chatting to you before and from you sharing some information with me offline that when you were young, your mum would play like positive self-talk tapes to you when you were going to ballet in the car. Is that right?
Yes, that's so true. When we were growing up, our parents were some of the first to introduce us to leadership and personal growth at a young age. And that's exactly what would happen. You know, instead of listening to music or other things in the car, our mom would have positive self-talk tapes going in the background. And they were just really intentional about helping us to grow up in an environment that really supported our growth and that created that positive world to live in.
Yeah, we would tag along with them to business conferences and everyone was taking notes. So we're like, all right, we're going to take notes too. And, you know, we were, of course, the only kids in the room, but we started then to dream of speaking someday and building a business and giving back in different philanthropic efforts. And that's kind of where a lot of those dreams started, was at a young age.
I absolutely love that. So I kind of want to double click on that a little bit more. I know I've got so much to talk to you about, but it's really interesting that your parents would take that approach, because it's quite unusual, right? I think it's quite unusual for parents to, you know, to expose their children at a young age to that kind of stuff. It's really positive. I think it should happen more, but we don't necessarily do it. And I was curious to know where that came from with them.
I think a lot of it was things that they had learned, and they wanted to expose us at a younger age, because I remember them always telling us, you know, if I had learned this when I was your age, think how much farther ahead I would be now. And so they really wanted to give us that advantage because they had experienced that positive impact that it could have on their life. And so they were like, we're going to do this for our kids. And we are certainly forever grateful for that.
Yeah. And it really shaped who we were. And I think we bought into it quickly too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the kids have to buy in as well. You know, otherwise you're like forcing something, but we were seeing the benefits and we were all about it. And so they sent us to an international leadership training program as kids. We went as long as we could go. And then we started working at the program, training other young adults from around the world. And a lot of our friends were also in that group. And we just kind of were surrounded by it mm-hmm. at home and in other places and loved it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And also, I kind of have this vision of you running around at these conferences when you were younger and perhaps not really listening. And then suddenly like ears perking up and hearing stuff and thinking it was interesting. Or did it happen like that? First, were you, you know, a bit disinterested and then you kind of dialed in. You're like, oh, this is really interesting.
First, we're running around the hotels, and then we're like,
oh, I should listen to this.
And then we're like,
oh, that's really good. That's amazing. Tell me more. Can you tell me a little bit more about this international leadership program? So what was that like? So what sort of age did you go? And then, you know, how did it come that you started working there as well?
Yeah. So we went, I think I was
turning at like 9 and 10 years old.
9 and 10 was the youngest. They like kind of let me slide in at 9 years old. You're supposed to be 10, but it was really such a neat experience because kids would come in from all over the world and you would get a chance to learn things about, you know, how to build a positive attitude, the right way of thinking, learning
goal setting,
team dynamics for sure. And then like that, the aspect of having people from so many different countries together was such a neat experience because that really broadens your perspective. I remember thinking, you know, this is so fascinating to experience how other people learn and grow and mm-hmm. how they bring their culture and their experience to these concepts as well.
And we all had to learn how to work together and find commonalities in our differences. And it was all in a very positive environment. Mm-hmm. So everyone was very supportive and there wasn't, you know, any harsh competitiveness or any animosity between anyone. It was just very uplifting. And then we all would just grow together. And it was a really unique bonding experience.
It's really interesting to me. And I feel like I'm going to totally go off piece now, but I can't help myself because I wanted to talk to you in a moment about the adventures that you've been on, because I know that they've been really meaningful in your lives. But before I get there, I got this idea in my mind that society still has a weird perception of the word leadership. Like, you know, when we talk about sending our kids to a leadership school or even talking about ourselves as leaders, it's almost like we should be embarrassed about calling us, like we shouldn't call ourselves a leader because people might think we're arrogant. But I don't know where that came from. And I know you guys have got so much interesting, rich experience and we'll touch on your academic background as well. But where do you think that comes from, and how do we positively change that so that leadership is something more positive for us to talk about with our kids?
I think it sometimes comes from people's unfortunate experiences with leaders who are that way. You know, not every leader is a good leader. And so sometimes people have had run-ins with bad leaders and they just kind of blanket statement that across the board. And they just say, well, you know, that's not a good thing to be because of my experience. But when we are lucky enough to be led by incredible leaders, or we see good leadership, that has always encouraged me personally to say, okay, what about this person and what about their leadership ability can I learn and can I get better in? And so I think that's really the goal, is to have more examples of good leadership out there to be able to change that discussion.
I think also people who maybe have told people growing up or in other situations, no, you don't have what it takes to be a leader, or you can't be a leader.
Right.
And that has probably prohibited some people from even wanting to try. Mm-hmm. But John Maxwell talks about it, saying that leadership is influence. And in that perspective, we are all influencing people with our actions. And leadership doesn't have to be that formal position. It doesn't have to be a specific role that you got hired on. And it could be parenting. It could be just, you know, being around your friends, your family, or other people. And everyone's watching. And so they're taking cues. And if you use that influence you have to set a good example, you are a leader. You know, it's not like you have to work your way up to this. It's more like getting the perspective right and then using using that influence that you have in a positive way.
Yeah, I really love that, Lauren. I think that's so true, isn't it? I think, you know, we're all leaders. It sounds like a bit like a cliche, but it's absolutely true. I think particularly with, if we can teach our young, you know, young people and children to think like that, to understand that whether they want to be a leader, to be perceived as a leader or not, they are, their actions will be followed and recognized. So yeah, I think that's so powerful. So you went to this, this leadership program, sounds like you loved it. And then you started to get involved with helping with that and working on that. Is that what eventually let you travel a bit, or was that separate? How did you get to kind of go on some of your travels that I know you've been on?
A lot of our travels have been separate from that, but we would do adventures during that program. And so, yeah, eventually we weren't, you know, able to go to the program anymore. We were too old. And then we were like, we love this so much. We're so passionate about it and want more people to have this experience too. So I worked as a leadership trainer for young adults for 5 years. And
I worked for 8 years and became their head leadership trainer. And
loved it.
We had the best time. There's just something about being in that positive environment that whether you were attending the program or you were leading the program, you just wanted to be there. It was just so different, you know, from the rest of society. It was a special little bubble in a sort. It was just really special.
I will say though, meeting people from all over the world definitely whet our appetite for doing some more travel. And it's been fun to have people all over the world that we know that we try and meet up with, or at least get their recommendations of go here, go there, try this out.
For sure. So that's the best way to go. You need to have a global family so that you can travel everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things that you touched on already earlier, this idea that you feel like you've learned a lot from these adventures, whether they're kind of micro adventures out hiking or some of the bigger adventures that you've done, but ultimately you feel like there's these intrinsic lessons there. And I feel absolutely the same way. And we, you know, because we've talked about it before, but I have this, you know, corporate background where I've been in very senior positions in very large organizations, and fortunate enough or unfortunate enough, depending on which way you look at it, to be sent on lots of leadership training programs. And most of them were very classroom based and very kind of stale and sterile. And I don't feel they really taught me much. Conversely, a lot of my adventures, I really feel like I just learned so much stuff. I didn't always realize it in the moment, but I retrospectively realized. And one of the things I love about you both is the way that you talk about some of these adventures and experiences you had, and you tie them back to the lessons that you feel that they are reflecting and representing for yourselves and for other people to listen to. And maybe you can give us a couple of examples of some of those things that you've done where you're like, that taught us something, and that's something we can remember.
Sure.
So something that comes to mind, I think, is our adventure in Switzerland.
And this is a funny one.
This is what we like to refer to as the mountain that we almost missed, which sounds really ridiculous because how do you miss a mountain? It's like massive, but we had been staying along a lake in Switzerland, and after a few days in the area, we were looking for some more things to do. And we'd heard a lot of people talking about going hiking up this nearby mountain, and you can take a gondola up to the top. And we had seen that from where we were staying. You could kind of see around the lake.
We watched the gondola every day.
We were like,
go up and down.
All right. I mean, that looks a little anticlimactic, but whatever. So we basically ignored this recommendation for like the first half of our time there. And then we had run out of things to do.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, well, we still want to go on a hike nearby. We've been on gondolas before, but there's no other hikes nearby. So we're going to do it. And so reluctantly, we were like, all right, we're going to ride up the hill and we'll walk around with the rest of the tourists. It's fine. And we were in for quite a surprise.
Yeah. So as we got up, we took the gondola up to this landing point. And when we got up there,
it did like a little dip.
Yes.
And then we're like,
oh, this is massive. Like, so the hill that we had been assuming was the mountain was just like the first little ledge of this incredible, like 6,000 foot mountain that was actually behind it. So we had this incredible view and we were like, how did we almost miss this?
Yeah. So from our perspective down on the ground, you couldn't see the mountain from there. And needless to say, we're really glad that we went, because we hiked to the summit and from up there, it was this 360 degree panoramic view. You could see 13 lakes. I think pretty much every part of Switzerland was visible from up there. So we're really glad. I mean, can you believe we almost missed that by thinking that it was, you know, this bump was the mountain. But it's one of those things that taught us you just can't assume that you always have the whole picture.
Yeah. And sometimes you need to listen to the advice of other people who have gone before you. And that's something that we really took away from this. Like, to us, that suggestion was like, oh, you know, I can see what that looks like. I know what this is all about. And so we didn't want to listen. But then when we finally took that advice, we're like, oh, there's so much more here. And so you have to be willing to trust people, even when the suggestion or perhaps the advice may not make sense to you yet. Sometimes there's more in the works there.
Yeah, I love that. It's so strong a message. And I think, you know, for people back home as well, you know, that applies to where you live as well. It doesn't have to be just somewhere you've traveled to. Like, I think so many of us take where we live for granted. We don't have a true sense of place, so we just kind of move through this space to get from point A to point B. But if we actually take a moment to stop and look around, or, you know, a few months ago when I was out running, I decided that I wasn't going to plan my running route anymore. I was just going to run. And I've been living on and off in the same area, apart from a few years living in the US for 15 years. And I found parts of this area that I've never run to before, and they're spectacular. Amazing. You know, just by getting to the end of a path and saying, I'm going to run left, or I'm going to run right, or whatever. So, yeah, I think that's so true. And we do sometimes assume we've got the whole picture, don't we? And we make these decisions. So love that message. What else? Anything else you got? You've got some amazing pictures on your Instagram account. So I know there's more amazing adventures and stories in there.
Yeah. Well, one of our other favorites was when we were in Hawaii, and it had been one of our life goals to go hike and then swim in a waterfall. And it was the last day of our trip. And so we're like, all right, this is the day. This is all we have left. We're going to do this.
Yeah. So the hike started out really nice. It was a beautiful day. It was sunny. And then we got about halfway in and it turned into a complete downpour. And it's not totally unusual because you are on an island, like in the middle of a rainforest. So we're like, all right, we'll just kind of like,
it's getting muddy.
Yeah. We'll like just kind of like hop from like one little section of plants to the next, you know, like just trying to stay out of the complete deluge of rain there. And it got to a point where the mud was getting pretty deep and we're like, okay, do we keep going? Is this really worth it? We had passed a lot of people on the trail at this point who were like, no, we're turning around. We're going back. Like, it's not worth it. So we're like, all right, what do we do here?
But it was our last day. So we're like, this is our chance. This is our moment. Like, we've got to do it. So we kept going. We are soaking wet, getting a little chilled at this point too, because, you know, we had swimsuits and now we're just wet and it's a little cool. And finally we get to the waterfall. And what also had happened is all the rain had cleared out all of the people. And so we got the waterfall all to ourselves. We swam out there, swam right under to where the water was coming down. It was like this amazing fern grotto looking experience. And it was one of our favorite moments.
Yeah, it was such a special moment because we were like, I'm so glad that we decided to stay the course. And this is one of those things that we talked about later. And we're like, you know, sometimes it's really easy to give in to that pressure to give up or to turn around or to quit, especially when you see other people. Because we hadn't been to this place, so we weren't sure, you know, was it going to be worth it when we get there?
Yeah, we were asking, like, oh, should we keep going? And people were like, no, like, we're not going to do it. And we're like, oh, it's our last day. We really want this. So it can be easy to quit when you see everybody else around you doing it, but it taught us the importance and the power of persisting when you really want something and how rewarding that ended up being. And we ended up even, like we said, getting it all to ourselves, which is something that we wouldn't have gotten on a normal day.
Yeah, it's great. And these are such strong lessons. And I think the way that you kind of illustrate them and help people visualize them is really good, because, you know, I can picture that as you're talking about it. I can picture that experience, and you can also imagine walking up the path and having lots of people heading down saying, oh, it's, you know, it's too wet up there, it's too slippery, don't go on. There's a lot of pressure to turn around. I love it. I could keep going talking about those all day, because I know you got loads, but we might have to do that another time. Now, I want to talk about your studies, because, you know, throughout your life, your studies continued. And I know you both went on to get your master's, and then you eventually became university professors, I think at a fairly young age.
Yes.
And I think that's a really interesting, interesting thing, because I think age often skews people's perspective, and I feel like to a certain extent we're kindred spirits there, because I told you in our earlier conversation, I became an executive in a $1 billion company at a fairly young age. And I remember my age being a big deal for other people, mm-hmm. and it wasn't particularly a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered if you experienced that when you became professors. That's a profession, you know, that lots of people are much older. And so you came in and you're much younger. Did that attract comments, and how did you handle that? And what was that experience like?
Definitely. I think pretty much every time we would say, oh yeah, I'm a college professor, they're like, you don't look old enough to do that. Like, aren't you a student? and both of us became professors in our 20s, which was a really exciting accomplishment. But like you said, it also made us very different from what everybody thinks of when you hear the term a university professor.
Yeah, I remember before I started teaching, I was about to walk into my first class, and so many people, when they found out that I was doing that, like saying those comments, and they're like, oh, are your students going to respect you? And I'd be surprised, you know, what they're going to think and all these things. And so I remember thinking to myself, like, well, goodness, you know, I mean, I think I'm capable, but I hope they respect me. Right. And so I walked in, I was about like 24 at the time. And I had to decide in that moment, like, all right, you know I'm capable. I need to trust my own expertise and really just stand confidently in this opportunity that I had been entrusted with. And as it turned out, our students, we have wonderful students. We're very blessed in that regard. But my students totally respected me. And it was interesting because they actually were really eager to learn from me. And I know you would say the same with your experience teaching as well. They really liked that we had that fresher, younger perspective to be able to bring to the classes.
Yeah, I would say that our age actually became an asset, because we're close enough to be able to relate to them, but we're also far enough ahead that we can bring a different, more matured perspective and insight and experience that turns out to be really valuable to the students. And it's another one of those things that, and I'm sure you would say the same, you know, you have to own your qualities that make you unique instead of worrying about what other people think. And when you do that, then it really lets you step into your fullest potential and you use it as an advantage.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm curious as well. Do you think that you talked about your age becoming your kind of your biggest asset and you used it to your advantage. Do you think that's actually something that's missing? Like that there is this kind of gap between students and the age of those kind of teaching them and supporting and mentoring them sometimes. Is that a bit of a problem? Do we need more, you know, younger professors who are closer in age to their students?
Yeah, I think it's really valuable for the students to see somebody who is, you know, young enough that they can be relatable, but still bring that mature perspective because they've had other experiences. But having that role model that they can say, okay, you're just a few steps down the road and I can start asking those questions and being comfortable asking those questions or opening up discussions. I think that's a great thing for younger people to be able to step into that role.
Yeah, I think there's definitely value in both. You know, I love learning from really seasoned leaders who have so much wisdom and experience mm-hmm. and this wealth of knowledge to be able to share. But then I think it's also helpful to have someone who's a little bit closer, because sometimes it feels like that's so far away and so far ahead of where you are right now that it's kind of like, well, what do I do in this, you know, I'm just taking the next step. But when you see someone who's a little bit closer range, then it's a clearer example of, okay, I see what I can aim for in the next few years. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really valuable. And even whether it's a professor or just some other type of mentor or role model, I do think the next generation needs people like that.
I think there's something really powerful there. I mean, in a way, you just perfectly articulated what this podcast is all about. So if you take a different space, you call it kind of generally adventure. And when I decided to launch the podcast, there's lots of podcasts out there that are focused on adventure, but almost all of them celebrate grand adventures exclusively. So they celebrate people climbing mountains and rowing oceans and crossing jungles and doing incredible things. And I feature those in the podcast as well, because I think they have, to your point, there's some incredibly aspirational qualities to them. And they show you what the feet, you know, the limits of human endeavor are, and they're often much further away than you think they are. So there's some amazing lessons there. But if that's all you see, is there a point where it becomes like, you know, counterproductive, where you start to think, well, I can never become that great? And so what I try to do with the podcast is show people how you can be adventurous every day and do smaller events, and how more, you know, quote unquote, normal people can be adventurous. And I think, you know, I always use the analogy of a pacemaker. You know, when you think about running track at school, and if you are running with a pacemaker, if the pacemaker is on the other side of the track, they're not going to help you run faster, because you'll try and catch up with them for a while, but after a while they're so far ahead you can't catch them. Whereas if you run just a few steps ahead of me, I always feel like I can just catch you. You're close enough that I can just get to you. And I think that's a good kind of, I guess for life is the same way, right? If people are too far ahead, it's hard to keep up. So I think that's true. I can imagine that's what you guys are bringing to the table.
That's definitely the goal. And it's fun too, because sometimes we get a lot of adults, at least I get a lot of the adult students as well. And so it's neat for them to also have somebody who is young and who is doing things, because sometimes I think as people get older, they also in a way lose that sense or that drive for adventure, because maybe they think, you know, oh, I have to be young to be able to do things, or I have to be this incredible adventure. Maybe I missed my shot in life to be that person. And so I think that it's incredible that, you know, you're providing that same environment here on your podcast to say like, hey, you know, when we get into a community of people who are all doing things, that inspires all of us to try new things and to try adventure, whether that is on a large or small scale.
Love it. I should get you just advertising my podcast. You did a better job of summarizing that than I did, because I totally agree with that. And I think that one of the messages that connects us is this idea that it's never too late to become an adventurer, to live more adventurously, to realize your full potential. You can do that at any age. And I think we talked about that when we first spoke, and I feel really strongly about that. And I know you both too, so much so that you've gone into business together, which is probably arguably your biggest adventure, because you're sisters and you're going into business together. So that's like the ultimate test, right?
Yeah, it is definitely one of our favorite adventures. A lot of people are like, we either get the two extremes. So some people are like, how could you ever work with your sibling? And then other people are like, oh yeah, I love working with my siblings. We're obviously in the latter camp because it works out quite well. But we, you know, like you were talking about, have this goal of helping people to live their best life and become the person that they were created to be. And a lot of that came from that same idea of there's a younger voice missing in this conversation. And like we shared earlier in our story of we were learning all these things about leadership and personal development at a young age. And we're like, why are we the only ones who are young in this room learning about this, where everyone is decades older? Like, how do we get more young people to learn about this? And as we were teaching again, we started to see that need for a younger voice. And that's what inspired us to start our company, Aretios, where we work as success and influence strategists. And we help train young professionals and entrepreneurs in, you know, leading well and living their best life. And we're loving it.
For sure. It's been an adventure, but a wonderful one.
Good. That's amazing. So when did you start the business?
Going on about 3 years ago now. And like you were talking about, one of our core, you know, elements of our philosophy behind what we do at Aretios is adventure. We like to call it our best life blueprint. And that's living, you know, inspired by purpose, equipped to influence, which we talked about, and then empowered to embrace the adventure of life.
We found that those three things, when you put them together, really help all of us, no matter who you are and where you've been, to really unlock your best life. And, you know, regardless of your starting point, when you put those things to work in your life, that will create the results that's helped to shape our lives thus far. And we know that they're the same three things that will be something that we continue to apply as we move forward into our future, because they really do allow you to live that life that we were designed to live.
Love it. Well, tell me more, because it's intriguing, because I always think with these things that you know, when you can come up with a succinct summary of how people can make the changes, it does make it easier, because I think people you know, they want to make a change, but they don't know where to start. And, you know, you've got this word blueprint in there, which I think is really powerful because it speaks to a path, you know, a plan of how I can do this. So tell us a little bit more about each of those.
Sure. So the first one is purpose. And purpose is so important because we need to have a sense of something that is going to make what we're doing worthwhile. And with purpose, it all starts with realizing your potential. And for us, our, you know, horizons were expanded when we were in those meetings and we started to see, okay, wow, this is what's possible. This is how you can live your life. And as you start to go down that road of figuring out, okay, what am I going to do with my life? What are the gifts, talents, and abilities I have? And how can I use that to help other people? That's when you start to embrace your purpose. And then I think from there, you have to be really intentional with your input. That way your input is aligning with the person that you want to be and where you want to go. And for us, we were grateful that our parents helped start that process. And then we took it from there.
Yeah, it's really important that we do surround ourselves, like Lauren was saying, with that environment that will help us move forward. So in addition to aligning our input, we also want to make sure that we have the right community around us. And that really helps to kind of boost us in our influence, which is the second thing. We really have to be equipped to influence. So when we're in an environment where we're learning and growing and we have people who are pushing us to learn and grow, it allows us to then be ready to step into that role of a leader, whatever that looks like. It's always up to us. We have to take ownership of that. And so we have to be intentional about putting ourselves in an environment where we are consistently putting in the good things, the good thoughts, and then putting ourselves in positions where we can step into that role.
I think because of the perspective that you mentioned earlier, Jay, about how not everyone sees themselves as a leader, a lot of people are like, well, I'll learn about leadership when I, you know, have a leadership role. But the truth is, at that point, it's already too late. Like, you're in the role and you've got to go. So instead, like, we would encourage people to start now, start studying the strategies of the successful people, start learning about leadership, start learning how to use your influence wisely. And it, all leadership starts with leading yourself. You know, you have to be able to lead yourself and get your goals and your habits and all of that in line. And then you can start helping other people to do the same. So we encourage people to start thinking about the influence that they have and developing that, because it is it's practice, kind of like yoga is a practice. Like, you never get there, but you always want to continually pursue that your whole life. And then the last one is adventure.
Yeah. So the last thing that we find is when we are in that positive environment, when we are continuing to push ourselves to get better, we also have to look at some of the things that maybe hold us back from embracing the adventure that is of life. And that's kind of our whole goal, is to equip people so that way they are ready, they can see and seize opportunity in life. And so if there are negative beliefs or doubt or past experiences, we have to sometimes be willing to say, you know what, that's behind me and that's not where I'm going in a new direction. And when we do that, we're able to really shift our focus to the opportunities that are in front of us. And there are always opportunities. We just have to be willing to have our eyes open so that way we can seize them.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest parts about, you know, living your best life is, first of all, just having the perspective of seeing life as an adventure. And that's kind of what we were, you know, all discussing earlier, is how we can adventure on a bunch of different levels. And when you see life as an adventure, then you're like, all right, I'm going to be flexible, or I'm going to learn the lesson from this, and I'm going to have fun with it, even when things don't go as planned. And I think one of the biggest parts of really living the greatest adventure of life is not doing the journey solely for yourself or by yourself. It's way more fun and way more meaningful when you do it with people and benefiting others along the way.
Yeah, that really resonates with me. I love the blueprint. I think it's elegant in its simplicity. And I think it really speaks to the key areas for people to kind of hack their own lives a little bit and get back on track. And I can't repeat enough the idea that this should be for people of any age. It doesn't really matter how old you are. It's never too late to, you know, to hit reset or hit pause and try and do things differently. I love that last point about the environment and surrounding yourself with people. I've been fortunate enough to interview a lot of people on the podcast. And one of the piece of advice that people always give is to find your tribe, is to surround yourself with people who are supportive and like-minded and get what you're trying to do. And it seems like that's also something you both believe in.
For sure. We've been so lucky to have incredible mentors along the way, but we also have had to be intentional about seeking out people who were like-minded, because it's really easy to kind of take on the thoughts and attitudes and behavior of the people that you're around. And so that's a big thing for us. We want to make sure that we're connecting with people who share the same kind of mindset, who are moving forward in a positive direction. And that's really been a key in our growth and success.
Definitely. And I would say on that idea of mentors too is, you know, sometimes in seasons of life, you're able to have a mentor in person that you can meet with. And that's a really wonderful gift. But other times you don't have that opportunity. And so that's in those moments, that's where we really would dive into books and mm-hmm. podcasts and other materials, because you can be mentored from people in that way as well.
Yeah, I think that's great. Great advice. What about things like social media? I saw and you talked earlier about, you know, being intentional with your input. And so, you know, sometimes we give things like TV and social media a bit of a hard time. But it feels to me like as long as you're purposeful with the way that you select your inputs, then some of those things can be really powerful. You follow really positive. If you look at my Instagram feed, it's basically full of positive people. It's not, there's no negativity on there because I'm intentional about who I follow on Instagram. Does that resonate with you?
Definitely. I mean, growing up, our parents were really intentional with what we watched. So we didn't watch a ton of TV, but there were certain shows that we did watch. Like we watched, you know, Mr. Rogers and Reading Rainbow and positive ones that were teaching good lessons. Mm-hmm. And I think there are those mediums that people use to learn and to communicate. And if you choose good ones, you know, it could be books, it could be social media. And like you said, following good people, that is good influence. That's good input. And it's all about, I think in and of themselves, like media is neutral. It's which one are you going to pick? Are you picking the positive or the negative input?
What would be some of your advice for parents listening to this? Because I think one of the continual themes throughout this conversation has been your parents and the, you know, you both had to work incredibly hard to get where you are and to create your business and get your degrees. But if it seems to me like they created some pretty powerful guardrails for you that you could, you know, that you could operate within. And that seems to have been really important for you in your life. What might be your advice for some parents listening on how they can help guide their children?
I would say the first thing is to realize how much your kids are paying attention to the things that you say and you do. And, you know, it's easy to think like, oh, they're little, they don't understand, but kids do pick up a lot. You know, it's amazing what they are observing. And so I think just a reminder of being intentional about what you're taking in, because not only does it, you know, have an impact on you as a person, but it also contributes to that environment where your kids are growing up. And so I would encourage them to find ways to, first of all, invest time with your kids. I think that's a huge thing that our parents did. They were, you know, always very wanting involved. To be involved in what we were doing. And that had a big impact. You know, that says to the child, like, you know, my parents are busy. They have a lot of things to do, but they still value making time for me and my activities. So that was a big thing for us.
And then like Candace was saying, the input, you know, as a child, you're in that formative stage. And so everything you're taking in is shaping who you're becoming. And that whatever input we give our minds, that's all it has to work with. And that's what builds those thought patterns and those beliefs about how a child sees themselves. That's going to affect their self-esteem. And so if you can really give them an encouraging environment, have them see good role models of people that you would be happy if they were emulating that. I think a lot of people, they just look to whoever society puts on a pedestal. And mm-hmm. sometimes that's good, but also oftentimes it isn't. So if you can be really intentional about showing them good role models to follow after, giving them that good input and encouraging them in that process, that definitely made a difference for us.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, one of the things as a parent myself, I think we sometimes fall into the trap as well of thinking that our main job as parents is to kind of provide for our children. Mm-hmm. And of course we have to provide, you know, shelter and warmth and security and food and all of those things. But I actually think our main role as parents is to role model, you know, is to show, you know, what living a life of purpose and happiness looks like, you know. Yeah. And I think about my own life earlier on. I think about some people I know, and, you know, generally folks who sometimes are doing jobs they hate. And you said something really powerful a few moments ago about kids watch everything. They see everything that you're doing, even if you don't think they do. And they see you, you know, toiling 12, 14, 16 hour days, coming home, shouting at each other, you know, eating too much, drinking too much, whatever people may sometimes do. Even if they're providing a really happy, safe home for their children, there's a negative consequence to the unspoken. And I think we have to be positive role models. Somebody asked me the other day, like, how do you make time for all your adventure and staying fit and healthy? I'm like, well, how do you not? I mean, what message and you know, lesson am I teaching my kids if I deprioritize my mental and physical health for other things? I mean, it has to be top priority. If I want my kids to prioritize their mental and physical health, then I have to do it, because then they see that it's so important that I do it as well. They're not going to do it if I say it's important but don't do it myself. I feel like that's a really important part of parenthood.
Definitely. I know our dad had a mentor who, when we were young, he had been doing a lot of traveling, and you know, he was doing exactly what you're saying, wanting to provide the best. And the mentor said, you know, well, who's really paying the price? And his first thought was, well, I am, because I'm working hard, I'm doing all of this. And as he thought about it, he was like, wait a minute. If I keep going in this direction, my family is really going to pay the price. And from what you've shared with us in previous conversations, I know you can relate to that. And now you're in a spot where you know, are so involved and so wonderfully invested in your kids and your family. And you can see how much of a difference that makes when you prioritize things like that, like your relationships and your health. Because if you don't, after all is said and done, what do you really have if you don't have those things?
Yeah, I love that message. I absolutely love that. That makes me smile from ear to ear. And I also love your you know, your blueprint, because I feel like if there's parents listening, it's absolutely you can apply that blueprint to the family, not just to your individual life. And there's a lot of joy to be had in exploring those lessons, those life lessons together as a family, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So if people are listening and they want to put these life lessons to work, right, what do they need to do? What are the next steps?
So right now we have created a really fun free 5-day challenge that actually walks you through that best life blueprint concept in a way that will allow you to start doing that, to start living your best life now by taking those steps that will help you begin moving in that direction. So if that's something that you definitely want to make happen, we would suggest that you head over to our website, which is aretios.com, and you can click the join the challenge, and that will get sent directly to you.
Love it. Well, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, we also have a lot of fun that happens in our newsletter. So if you, that's stuff that we don't share anywhere else, but there's a lot of fun stories and lessons and things that we're learning and finding that we like to share with our community. So that's over at aretios.com/ateam.
And I'm a subscriber, and I can testify that it's great content. So I definitely think people should do that. Where does the name, I should have asked this before, I'm embarrassed I didn't. Where does the name Aretios come from?
Sure. So it's inspired by a Greek word, arete, which back in ancient times was used to denote bravery and excellence. And so the idea is to live up to your fullest potential. And so aretios means a life full of excellence and purpose, live to your best ability.
Perfect. Perfect. So I always like to ask my guests, you know, for those who are at home and they're curious about wanting to live more adventurously, and in this case, I think in the context of our conversation, also, you know, maybe inspired to kind of be a bit more in control and a bit more intentional about their life going forward. What might be your best advice for them?
Well, one of the things that we love about what you do is encouraging adventure at any level and any budget. And one of the things that we like to do is just to come up with engaging, fun things to do on our weekends. So we kind of have like an adventure list that we would call it. And I'd encourage everyone listening to do the same, where you just make this long list of things that you want to do, big and small. And the way that this works is oftentimes when we have that pocket of time that presents itself, we forget about all the things we wanted to do. And so it's like, then you find yourself, you know, on your computer or doing something that wasn't very exciting or on your phone. And then you're like, oh, where did the time go? I don't have time for XYZ adventure that you wanted to do. So when you make that list, then you're able to start checking that off. So when the time presents itself, you can go to that list and be like, you know what, we're going to go, you know, see a sunset, or we're going to go try a new restaurant or whatever it is.
Yeah. Actually last week we did something really fun off our adventure list. So there was a new place that we wanted to visit with a friend, and it was like a candle making experience, which was something totally random, but so different than like what we'd be doing on a regular day. And it was just great to have those little moments of fun and trying something new. And that's really what we see adventure as being, you know, like maybe you have the time and capacity to be able to go off on some incredible trek, or maybe you are able to try a new restaurant or test out a recipe or just be a tourist in your hometown. It's all about that idea of, you know, really being intentional with your time and saying, okay, if I want to make adventure a part of my life, mm-hmm. I need to actually have some ideas and then go do them
and prioritize,
work off that list. So that way you really make it happen.
Yeah, that's incredible advice and absolutely spot on. And I think that oftentimes it's just that we don't know what to do with our time. It's not that we don't want to be adventurous, but to your point, the moment passes and it's so easy to kind of slip into your phone or into a Netflix series or whatever it may be. One of the things that I did recently, which I think got the most buzz on social media, was I did 28 Days of Adventure for May, which was just a series of daily ideas of things that people could do to live adventurously. And for the most part, they didn't require a huge amount of planning, and almost none of them required any money. And they're little things just like cooking your breakfast outside,
yeah.
which you know, we all do when we go camping, but nobody ever does before they go to work. But why not? Like, just because you have a nice house, why not eat outside and enjoy the outdoors, or go climb a tree, which we all seem to stop doing when we get to a certain age. Right. But actually climbing trees is mega and everybody should do it. But yeah, it's just little stuff like that, I think, is just transformational. I did a fun thing with my kids in the last holidays that we had, when they had some time off school. We put a load of ideas on paper and we screwed them up and put them in a bowl. And then we just every day we pick one out and said, we're going to do this.
So fun.
Climbing trees, doing a treasure hunt, you know, but things like draw a picture, you know, and stuff like that. So it, like to your point about the candle making, it doesn't always have to be. I think we've ended up over time creating this label of adventure has to be, you know, physically enduring, difficult, challenging, you know, and oftentimes kind of a high risk. But actually, I think living adventurously for me is just doing things you don't normally do and trying things you've never tried before, where there's a chance you may not be able to do it, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be, you know, I'm going to try and draw a picture and then it's terrible and I never want to show anybody, but it's still adventurous trying something new.
And there's always a lesson in whatever it is. And I think you're so right. Adventure is all those extreme things, but it's also so much more. And that's just a fraction of what it is. And I love that idea that you said of making it just a way of life and a perspective.
Yeah. One of the ideas that I had to kind of helping people understand this was just this, if you said to people, imagine if there was a film crew following you around your whole life. And if you spend all your time just watching TV or scrolling through your phone, what would the highlights reel show? It would just be you like scrolling through your phone. Just so,
yeah,
you know, if you can just, you know, this idea of living adventurously every day, I understand it can't be every day. It never is for anybody, but you'd just be so many like rich mini memories, which when they come together is just this really fulfilled life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And those memories are the ones that you look back on later. You know, it's not all the time that you sat on your computer or all the work that you did. And while there's you know, value in that, that's not what you remember later. You know, you always think back on like, oh, you remember that fun time when we were doing this, or remember that funny thing that happened when we were on this trip, or we tried this restaurant.
Or you just strike up a conversation with the person next to you on an airplane. You know, it's just as simple as that. Just putting yourself out there and trying something.
Well, I'm British. We don't do that. We couldn't possibly, we couldn't possibly talk to strangers. No, you're absolutely right. I love that message. And I think that, I think the reason that we connected so well when we first spoke is that we share this philosophy just on being adventurous rather than necessarily having adventures. And I think those two things are conflated often, but they're actually quite different things. And we're talking about generally just trying to be intentional every day about living your life. And that's where the name 28 Summers comes from. It comes from this idea that without being morbid or morose, you might not have long left. And if you knew how long you had left, would you live your life more intentionally and more purposefully? And I think for most people, the answer would be yes.
Such a powerful and important message.
Yeah, I think it is. I really think it is. So you guys have got so much more that I could talk to you about, but we're going to run out of time, but I'd love to chat to you again. I do have a couple more questions. I mean, first of all, what's next for you? So as you've started your business a few years ago, it's going from strength to strength. What are your hopes and aspirations for the future?
Yeah, right now we're working on putting together a community and sort of a masterclass program where we'll be able to kind of dive deep with a smaller cohort of people all about this idea of becoming the best version of yourself and being a person who doesn't just have dreams, but someone who lives them. So that's in the near future for us. We're really excited to open that up in the coming months and do that. So that's kind of what's on tap in the near future.
And then just personally, I think more travels are always something that we
want to do. Yeah.
Interested in. So seeing what's to come, we always like to have something new to explore.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's been so much fun talking to you. Where can we've already talked about the website. Where else can people kind of find you online and follow along?
Yeah, you can definitely connect with us on social media. Our handle is at Aretios Official, and we are on Instagram and Facebook. So we'd love to connect with you there.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us, Jay. It's been absolutely amazing and such a pleasure to connect with you, someone who's an amazing leader, incredible role model, and inspiring so many people to live life to the fullest and to really embrace this whole idea and mindset of adventure.
Oh, that's really kind of you, Candice and Lauren. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I have a feeling this is not going to be the last time that we talk on a podcast.
Looking forward to the next one already.
Yes.
Thanks a lot. You can follow Lauren and Candice on Instagram at @AretiosOfficial and sign up to their newsletter and learn more about all of their work at aretios.com. Thanks as always for your continued support. It means the world to me that so many of you are taking the time to listen, share and review the podcast, and I can't believe that we're already at episode 41 of season 2. That's it from me today. I'll be back soon with another amazing guest. In the meantime, stay happy, stay healthy, and remember to live adventurously.